Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Mayor Bloomberg and Police Commissioner Ray Kelly went to Washington yesterday to testify in favor of a bill that would ban people on the terrorist watch list from buying firearms. If that sounds like a common sense no-brainer to you, it was not to all the senators. Some stuck to their guns on the position that people considered too risky to be allowed on airplanes should still be allowed to purchase, say, an AK-47. Listen to this remarkable exchange between Bloomberg, Kelly, and the Republican Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina.
If society decides that these people are too dangerous to get on an airplane with other people, then it's probably appropriate to look very hard before you let them buy a gun.
I totally understand what you're saying, but we're talking about a constitutional right here. And the reason I brought that up, Mayor, Mr. Kelly, Commissioner Kelly, if all these people are fanatics, there are 400,000 people on the terrorist watch list, what percentage of them are American citizens?
I couldn't give you an insight.
Well, the law prohibits purchase of a gun unless you're an American citizen or a legal resident alien. So I think we're talking about a fairly small percentage of 400,000 people. And the NRA, see, some people believe banning handguns is the right answer to the gun violence problem. I'm not in that camp. I believe my right to own a gun shouldn't be infringed because some nut is going to take a gun and use it wrongfully. I just think you should prosecute them very swiftly and forcefully. I am all into national security. I want us to take our Social Security cards and make them biometric. I want to stop reading these guys their Miranda rights.
Senator Lindsey Graham with Mayor Bloomberg and Police Commissioner Kelly at a Senate hearing yesterday. Congresswoman Yvette Clark from Central Brooklyn is with us now. She's a member of the House Homeland Security Committee, and she will talk about this and more. Hi, Congresswoman. Welcome back to WNYC.
Good morning. How are you, Brian?
I'm good, thank you. Now, that wasn't your hearing, but did you know about that exchange?
I was informed about the exchange. It happened over in the Senate yesterday, and it's incredible that you could hear such hypocrisy in the response. It stands to reason that people are placed on the terrorist watch list for a reason. And if we're going to empower them with firearms, then we're working in a counterproductive manner. So I don't agree with what Senator Lindsey Graham had to say about this.
At the end, in showing that he's tough on terrorism, he said people suspected of terrorist acts should not be read their Miranda rights when they're arrested. So do you think he's trying to order his Constitution a la carte? Fifth Amendment rights are optional under the Constitution. Second Amendment rights are mandatory.
It certainly appears that way, Brian. I don't get it. But clearly, some people believe in the right to bear arms at all costs. And unfortunately, it may cost several lives as a result of that.
In his defense, I could argue that someone on the watch list is not the equivalent of someone who's been arrested for a terrorist act, which is where the Miranda rights would come in. Maybe someone who's on a watch list who isn't known to have actually done anything illegal or they would have been arrested should retain all their rights.
Well, listen, there's a fine line there. Certainly there should be a heightened scrutiny around the purchasing of firearms if you're on the terrorist watch list. And typically, you're to address your status with authorities when traveling. So perhaps that needs to be employed as well when you're about to purchase a firearm.
And, of course, American history is littered with stories of unfairly denying rights to certain groups of people because they are perceived as a possible risk, including black people and immigrants.
That's right. That's right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and that's why, again, we know that the terrorist watch list is not foolproof. We've had many instances where there are innocent individuals whose names appear there. However, there's a redress process, particularly in the situation where they're traveling, where they can have their status addressed and cleared. That same process should be utilized to vet individuals who are seeking to purchase firearms.
Listeners, is this a controversial notion to you? Let's do a little informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific poll here. Should people on the terrorist watch list be denied the right to bear arms? 212-433-WNYC. You heard Mayor Bloomberg, Ray Kelly on one side of that question, and Senator Graham on the other side of that question. 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Congresswoman Yvette Clark from Central Brooklyn, my guest. Congresswoman, do you happen to know the answer to Graham's statistical question, which was how many of the 400,000 people on the terrorist watch list are U.S. citizens or at least legal residents?
That information is very hard to ascertain, simply because it's very confidential in terms of the security and intelligence community. They don't even want to confirm who is actually on the list. So it's very difficult to ascertain that information. But regardless of that, we have something called domestic terrorists, many of whom are U.S. citizens. So I think that putting a protocol in place that vets whomever appears on the terrorist watch list and is seeking to purchase a firearm is not too much to ask.
Yeah, and his point was that there wouldn't actually be that many people covered by closing this loophole, as the mayor views it, because he thinks a majority of the people on that 400,000-person list are probably either not in the United States at all, or at least they're not citizens or legal resident aliens, which I gather you have to be to buy a gun?
Well, I think you just have to be able to afford a gun.
If you go into a gun store, I mean, I don't know. If you go into a gun store, you don't have to show any kind of proof of legal status, right?
It depends on the jurisdiction, probably.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, there are even loopholes when it comes to gun shows. So, you know, there are many ways for people to purchase firearms in the United States. And if, in fact, what Lindsey Graham is saying is correct, and it is a small number of U.S. citizens and legal permanent residents, then that basically makes the case for those individuals to seek redress.
Now, here is a consistently liberal caller, Nick, I think you'll accept that label, who agrees with Senator Graham, right?
Yeah. I think that the problem is the whole concept of the terrorist watch list. It's political. It's a political thing designed for public relations for the government. There needs to be a real list of people who are real threats, and that list has to be purged and qualified on a daily basis. And that list would probably be 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 people. And people on that list should, if they go to get buy a gun, they should be questioned by the FBI. But to have 400,000 people, most of which are in America, on a terrorist watch list and they get harassed at airports, this is just, you know, the usual suspects. And that waters down our national security. It doesn't increase it by just putting anybody who's ever approved of rights for the Palestinians or who may have a friend on Facebook from Dubai. That person shouldn't be on that list. What we're doing now is a threat to democracy. I care more about that threat of that list than I do about these stupid gun rights for... You get the point.
Yes. Nick, thank you very much. Well, what about that priority and that thought, Congresswoman?
I agree wholeheartedly with Nick about the value of the terrorist watch list right now. As a matter of fact, I have a piece of legislation that passed the House, which speaks to the fact that there needs to be a purging and a redress process in place that does that in an expeditious manner, because we know that there are so many people who are innocently on that list and have had no means of removing their names. So as that list gets larger and larger, it begins to lose its value in being able to isolate those who would really seek to do us harm. So in that respect, he's absolutely correct. However, I do believe that, you know, there should be a certain level of scrutiny applied to anyone who's flagged on that terrorist watch list so that we can make sure that, you know, explosive materials, handguns, things of that nature are not in their hands. And at the moment, at the point of purchase, they would then be able to fill out go through the procedure of redress, but have it actually addressed, removing them from the list and enabling them to then exercise their right to own a handgun.
Willie in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Willie. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I am absolutely appalled by a U.S. senator, saying that someone on a terrorist watch list, no matter how he got there, is empowered by our Constitution to own a handgun. I'm absolutely appalled, and I'm going to call Senator Graham's office because I think he's a respectable Republican. And I don't think what the Constitution guarantees has nothing to do with common sense.
Now,
you don't give someone on a watch list a weapon of destruction.
Willie, thank you. And Stephen on the west side of Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Brian. The validity of the watch list and the interpretation that Senator Graham offers the Second Amendment notwithstanding, when somebody is on that watch list, they lose their Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment rights right off the bat. And so, therefore, denying them their Second Amendment rights as well until such time as they can clear their name does not seem to be a terrible travesty, especially since by giving them the Second Amendment rights, they put everyone else in danger and take our rights away, rights to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
Which, I mean, in response to Nick in Cliffside Park, the first caller, which concerns you more, the fact that somebody who is merely on a watch list, who hasn't allegedly committed a crime, is it more of concern to you that that person loses their Fourth, Fifth, and Sixth Amendment rights, search and seizure, right to, you know, not incriminate themselves? Or is it more important to you that they lose their gun rights and therefore you're comfortable with them losing all of those rights?
Well, I believe that the watch list is poorly put together, and many of those people, if not most, are probably innocent and shouldn't be on that list. So that's a separate question. That list needs to be tightened up and changed. But that said, if you're on that list and if there is valid concern, then that valid concern should be checked out. However, at that point, you immediately suspend Second Amendment rights because the only reason to hold a gun at that point is to pursue violence, or that's certainly a possibility. I would also remind Senator Graham that he said, well, there's not that many who are American citizens who would be on that list. Well, you know what? It only takes one.
Stephen, thank you for your call. Of course, Congresswoman, there isn't much of a history of terrorists using pistols and handguns. Maybe what they need to lose is their right to buy propane.
Yeah, absolutely correct about that. I mean, we're going to have to come up with a way in which, you know, we're able to feel confident in the accuracy of the databases that track individuals in our nation who have demonstrated in some form or fashion that they're a danger to our civil society. However, there's no way that we're going to be able to identify everyone. There are folks who are intent on doing harm to us who, you know, appear as normal one day and the next day have an axe to grind. And we've seen this, in many instances in American history beyond what we've identified in our mind's eye as the typical terrorist. You have the gentleman who flew his private plane into the IRS offices. You have Timothy McVeigh. So there are so many different types of individuals who may act out, that there's no way that our databases have the capacity to really identify these personality types prior to them acting out.
Congresswoman Yvette Clark, Democrat from Central Brooklyn, member of the Homeland Security Committee, and you did team up with Republican Peter King of Long Island on another anti-terrorism measure. having to do directly with New York, right?
That's correct. For quite some time now, actually since 9/11, the Congress has appropriated funding to do a program as a pilot in New York City called Securing the Cities. And it equips our NYPD and their regional partners with equipment that help to detect radiological, nuclear materials if they're transported within our region, so that we can hopefully avert any incident that would use those materials. What we were able to do in our Science and Technology Directorate Authorization Bill this year was to embed that as a program that will go forth throughout the United States and will no longer be sort of in its pilot mode, but now will be instituted in a way in which those technologies are deployed, that more of them are developed that can also pick up biological as well as chemical weapons. And that's going to be important as individuals who seek to do us harm become more sophisticated in their attempts at trying to do harm and create mass casualties. Certainly we're going to have to look at, the layout of our cities and our nation in order to really look at how we build that perimeter through which this type of activity can be detected. But it's well worth it when we look at how close we came this past weekend to having, an explosive event in New York City.
A rare moment of bipartisanship on that, and hopefully to the benefit of New York. Before you go, I wonder if you have an opinion as a former city council member about the city budget as it's emerging right now, with some layoffs in some departments, no layoffs in other departments, as the fiscal crisis continues to unfold. Apparently, we're going to hear from the mayor today a proposal for laying off 6,500 teachers, while the idea of laying off any police officers has now gone by the boards. In fact, they cover the New York Post today, reads, "Thanks, Faisal. Inept terror thug saves 900 cop jobs," which is to imply that there would have been 900 police layoffs had this incident not been in the news right now, as the mayor is about to announce his budget proposals. I don't know if some police layoffs would have meant fewer teacher layoffs, but, it's a terrible choice to even have to make and compare those two workforces. But do you have any reaction to that?
Yeah, I think we all want to keep New York safe. Excuse me. There's no doubt that we have a very hard fiscal climate to address. However, we can't be into sacred cows. Everyone is going to have to tighten their belts during this time. And I'm not certain, whether this particular proposal that emphasizes one part of our government versus another is a healthy way at going about addressing, the budget deficit that exists.
So we got to go in 30 seconds, but are you saying you'd rather see some kind of across-the-board layoffs, or at least that you'd rather see some cops go too?
I think that there has to be some nuance to it, and we have to look at where there's going to be less of an impact on our civil society. Certainly laying off massive layoffs of teachers creates a hardship for our scholars that are looking to be educated in our schools. And certainly the fact that we need to be protected by police is something that has to be weighed as well. Perhaps there are new technologies that could be utilized if, in fact, we have to go about laying off manpower, and particularly in the police department. So, they're going to have to look at that very, very carefully. But I would say that there should not be any sacred cow.
Congresswoman Yvette Clark from Central Brooklyn, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, why today's UK election may transform British democracy. Stay with us.